Blog Talk Radio.
And that's right, ladies and gentlemen, the draft is upon us. Hi, I'm Jeremy York from End Zone, along with Mr. Coach Hill. How are you doing this week?
I'm great, Jeremy. How about yourself?
I am tired. This draft is wearing me out, and it hasn't even happened yet.
It has been a long couple of months for myself.
Upon us, lives will change, and cities all over the nation will live and die with the decisions of 32 particular individuals in a little over 24 hours from now.
This is by far the most stressful time for the GMs. It's the most exciting time for the fans. You have this energy that you cannot explain that's going to take place in New York. It is now time for football.
Absolutely. And even if you haven't seen draft day, if you have, you'll know exactly what I'm talking about. But if you haven't seen the movie Draft Day, which you should, it's a good movie. But everybody say a small little prayer for these GMs this week. Maybe say a couple of them, because they're going to need every bit of help they can, not just to make good decisions or the right decisions, but for the simple fact, like you said, there's so much energy that you can't define it. And there's so much pressure on these guys to do the right thing.
Absolutely. I mean, you're trying, again, as I mentioned before, last week on the show, the GMs are in a very unique situation. They have to have the ability to satisfy the owner who writes all of the checks, and also satisfy the head coach so that they can win football games. So as you're looking at that, you're trying to find out what is going to be that best overall possible pick at that moment that can move your team in the direction that they need to go, and that's to win football games.
Yeah, absolutely. And I do see some callers stacking up there. If you guys give us a couple minutes, I would love to hear what you guys have to say. As always, you can call us in at our call-in line, which is 347-826-7448. Again, that's 347-826-7448. We'd love to hear from you guys if you want to know what we think about your team in the draft or the first round at least. Or if you want to tell us if you're the GM of your own team, who would you pick? We'd love to hear that as well. But we do want to address some of the rumors that have kind of come across the lines a little bit. And some of them are underground. Some of them, I'd love to know about a few of these because a lot of them sound really interesting. But, you know, a lot of people think that the Falcons could move up to one, could trade up to one in order to get the player they need. And even though we'll hit the Falcons a little bit later during Falcon Zone, the way it sounds right now is that Houston's going to take Clowney and stay at number one. And if Atlanta or anybody else is going to move ahead of Jacksonville, they're going to have to take the two spot from St. Louis.
Absolutely. I think that if Houston decides to not move out of the first spot, it's a lot of pressure on Houston right now. But the one thing they have as a safety valve is to look at Mr. Clowney. And by far, he is the best player overall in the draft. I don't think any of the Houston fans or the city of Houston will be disappointed if Houston decides to go with this particular pick and this particular player at this moment. However, you must look at your team overall, and that's what the GM has to do. Mm-hmm. He's under the pressure of trying to satisfy the fan base, which is connected to the ownership group and selling tickets and getting bodies in the stands. On the other hand, he has another side of that. And so a coin is only counterfeit if it has the same side.
Exactly.
So now the other side of this, to authenticate this coin, is called a coaching staff and football operations. And now what did we pick the best player that we need to help us categorically to move us forward in some areas that we were deficient in that might have made the difference in one, two, three, or even five possible games? So that's where the GM sits. He is very stressed out right now in deciding on, does he go with his gut feeling or does he go by popular demand?
And either way, at least half the fan base is not going to like it.
Exactly.
But another thing that a lot of people have talked about, the Detroit Lions, among a lot of other teams, the Jets have been rumored as well, to move up in the draft to get Sammy Watkins. Now, if you put Watkins on one side and you're putting Calvin Johnson on the other, I mean, That's a pretty scary tandem. I mean, I don't know that even Seattle would have a great time, an easy time covering those guys.
Absolutely. A lot of these teams, again, they're looking at what those one or two things mean and what it means in the draft world, for those who don't know. The term is called the ones. Okay, the ones are the players that have spent a tremendous amount of time researching their background, looking at the film over and over and over and over again. I mean, some of these players fail to realize that some of their film, they've looked at it back before high school on some VHS tape that someone recorded when they were playing 8 and 9 and 10 year old football. So the ones are the impact players. These are the players that 9 times out of 10 are going to come in right after training camp and immediately impact your team. That's why the pick is so important. It is so important that you get that pick or you're comfortable as an organization with that pick. So, again, I wouldn't be surprised to see Detroit. A lot of teams are going to move. This draft for the first round in a long time is going to look like the stock market. You're going to see so many trades go back and forth, and the deals that go on behind that go in round 2 and 3, because the draft is so deep this time. That's why you're going to see. Normally, you'll see a few trades in the first. Teams pretty much have at least a top 3 and/or 5 picks that they have for the first round. As players come off the board, the strategy that goes into what is our next need, what is our sleeper need. But now you're going to see these trades go back and forth so much in the first round, because then you're going to see 4 and 5 picks in the third round, 6 or 7 possibly in the fourth round as a result of just that one pick. So it's going to be very interesting as to what we're going to see tomorrow as it plays out. And once Mr. Goodell puts Houston on the clock, let the story begin.
Which, I mean, technically from the time that Richard Sherman had his famous Super Bowl after speech there, technically Houston's been on the clock. But, yeah, Goodell will officially kind of ring the bell to let them know. But unlike the stock market, even though I love that example because it really does spell it out for a lot of people.
That's for my non-football fans.
Right,
those who don't follow football quite but don't understand all the terminology, I try to use other things that they can associate it with.
But the only difference I see is I think it escaped me. But, no, in the with the stock market, you may see this many trades, but there's no such thing as a mutual fund. You can't invest in 3 or 4 of these guys at the same time without it costing you dearly.
Absolutely, absolutely. And I think that's what's going to be so interesting about this draft, is because there's such a plethora of talent there, is that a lot of people are going to want to know why a team probably traded up or down or even out of the first round, because they have projections in second and third round picks. And I like to call it, affectionately, I call it the Jimmy Johnson or the Coach Jimmy Johnson syndrome. He was a master of finding those players in the third and the fourth and the fifth rounds that you would have never thought would have been Dallas Cowboys at that time. But now look at them and look at what he did with them during his era, even in Dallas.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, the Super Bowl's proved it.
Yep. You know, even the Patriots are pretty good at that, too. They'll pull somebody out of a sixth round, and you're like, that guy's not even – was he in the draft? Who is this guy? And you start looking at tape, and you're like, what are they seeing? And then that guy – scores 12 touchdowns in the first 3 weeks of the season, or that guy has 6 sacks by the 10th week, and you're like, oh, they know something we don't.
Absolutely.
But, of course, a lot of these rumors that we're going over right now come from one of the newer colleagues of End Zone Now, one of the new guys we brought on board, Mr. Joe Pym, as he'll be covering a lot of SEC stuff for us this year, especially the Georgia Bulldogs.
Right.
Because we're riding Bulldog country around here.
Absolutely.
Along with Georgia Tech as well.
Can't forget them.
Can't forget Georgia State either.
We got a lot of football in Georgia.
We do. Georgia is a hotbed for that kind of stuff. But we do appreciate Joe sending some of these rumors our way. And really the last one I wanted to hit on, only because to me it makes the most sense for both teams, but at the same time, you talk about surprising people and shaking things up. There is a rumor, and we're still trying to nail down some other things to this. Right now it's just a rumor. There's no fact base to it, just something we've heard. The Rams would possibly look to move Sam Bradford to Minnesota for some picks. Obviously, that would probably be second or third round picks, maybe third and fourth, second and fourth, a handful of picks, regardless, and go get Manziel at 2 and not trade that pick.
You know, it's not a bad move. It's not a bad move. Why is because, again, the productivity they've gotten out of Mr. Bradford, they've not been really satisfied with. I mean, let's just be honest about that piece of it. He was a high dollar guy.
He's injury prone.
He has been injury prone. The productivity has not been to what they put into it for the value of the dollar at the position. They now have Coach Fisher down there, and he might be looking at some things differently now after giving it a year and or two to look at. And so now it's going to be interesting to see what they do. And you got to keep in mind now, the Rams have two picks in the first round.
Right.
They're one of a few teams that have this unique situation under their belt. So now they can maneuver a little bit. Do they go high in that first pick? Do they trade out of that first pick? Do they take the second pick in the first round and do a deal there? So it's going to be quite interesting to see what they're going to do. But if they do pick up Mr. Manziel, keep in mind it's close to Texas. Mm-hmm. So he's not too far away from home. Again, there's a fan base that will be created there. Not a bad move on the, on their part.
Exactly. Yeah, the Rams have the second overall pick thanks to the RG3 trade, and they also have the 13 pick thanks to their season. And then the Browns have the 4 and the 26. So I think there may be one other team that's got a couple more in there, but they do have that unique situation. And, you know, to go back on Minnesota here for a second, Bradford is a good fit there, actually, with the coaching staff they have and the people that they've went through in the last few years. They're not Bradford. They're not that style of quarterback. And, you know, this is going to help them on so many levels. The thing is, they're going to have to give up picks to probably do this. They don't have a first-round pick this year. It's going to cost them down this line.
Absolutely. So they have to think, you know, I mean, if they decide to make this move, it's going to have to be a move that they really consider the impact later in the draft of themselves, because where they're positioned in the draft later can still affect how they turn out even into next year's draft.
Right.
So they have to really be careful about what they're going to do. And I'm sure they've sat down and looked at all of the scenarios. I promise you, they've looked at all of the scenarios of what they need and how they're going to go about this particular pick.
Definitely. But we are up against a break, and like I said, I do see you guys on the phone lines. As soon as we get out of the break, we will let you guys come hang out with us in the end zone and hear what you guys have to say about it. But we'll be right back after these messages.
Hi, Jeremy the Impact York here from Mellow Mushroom. Are you looking for a great family-friendly restaurant with food that is great and healthy? Drop by the Mellow Mushroom. They use the freshest ingredients to make everything on their amazing menu. Pizzas, calzones, salads, and more, plus daily drink specials. Go to mellowmushroom.com to find the location nearest you. Jeremy the Impact York from Endzone here. Would you or your business like to advertise with Endzone? It's easier than you think. With many packages available, we've got the perfect deal to help you promote your business to a whole new audience. All you have to do is contact us at 3endzone@gmail.com for more info and to get started today. Let us help you grow your business.
And we are back. Hope you guys support all of our friends and everything, because they support us and allow us to do these awesome shows and get to talk football all the time, which is never a bad thing. But we do want to start taking a couple of you guys' calls. Hello, you're in the end zone. Who am I speaking with? Hello? You're in the end zone.
Hello?
Who am I speaking with?
Go right ahead, caller.
Yeah, go ahead, caller.
Oh, okay. I was really just calling to kind of listen in and waiting to hear some Falcons talk. So,
well, that would make you a Falcons fan, correct?
Indeed it would.
Well, you know, what do you think the Falcons should do at this particular point?
You put me on the spot. I don't think it would be worthwhile to I think we've been doing a lot of jumping the last few seasons in terms of, you know, going after these earlier draft picks. So I think there may be some value at, you know, at the slot we choose. So if, you know, if we can't go get Clowney, you know, at that first pick, it's still going to be enough value, you know, later on to be able to choose, you know, to help fill where we have needs. Or at least that's my opinion.
Yeah, definitely so. And what was your name?
Edwards.
Edward, well, we appreciate you calling in. Where are you calling from tonight?
Calling from Conyers, Georgia.
Conyers. I've been there many times. I like the place.
I'm glad you do.
It's good to have friends out in Conyers.
Absolutely.
But we appreciate you calling in. And on Falcon Zone here in a little while, we will be diving a lot further into the Falcons and what we think they're going to do, because there are a few more rumors swirling around with them. Atlanta happens to be one of the most active teams in this year's draft so far. But we appreciate you calling in, Edward, and we look forward to talking to you again.
Okay, can I continue? Can you put me on hold and let me continue to listen?
Definitely, we can do that.
All right, thanks a lot, guys. Great job. Uh-huh.
Thanks. Yeah, definitely. You know, we will get into the Falcons a lot, you know, more in depth a little later, but they are one of the more active ones, and the general consensus is a lot of the fan base doesn't want to have to go reach for a guy and bet the farm again. Julio did work out, but it cost you two or three drafts worth of quality needs that you could have filled.
Absolutely, and like you said, we'll get more in depth with our analyst from Mr. Walker, who heads up and co-hosts that part of the show with you. In general, again, like I said, the draft is – it's a very stressful time when you're looking at players. And the good part about this draft is that there were a lot of players to look at. There were a lot of things to consider. There are a lot of angles to take. There's a lot of room to make deals. So this is the first time in a very long time that I've seen a draft where you can actually trade out your one.
Yeah.
You know, and that's the uniqueness of this draft. I mean, when it's all said and done, we'll go back and grade the teams
right
based on their needs. But I really feel that it's going to be very, very few teams that grade below a C+, just because of the talent that's
right
there. Now, whether or not they got the actual player that they wanted, or will they be able to get a player similar and have to develop over 2 years, it's going to be the question. Mm-hmm. But as far as where they stand, as far as getting a player and or a body, a quality athlete at their needs, I think all the teams will be able to successfully do that.
Oh, absolutely. And as deep as this draft is, I mean, you know, you guys can't see us in here, but I'm doing air quotes here when I say you can almost miss and still fill a need and be fine down the road.
Absolutely, because if you look historically at some of the players that have come in and become very productive and viable players, they came in lower rounds.
Mm-hmm.
They were guys no one ever heard of. So here's an opportunity for players, and I get this a lot, okay? I get this a lot, being that I've been in professional sports mm-hmm. for a long time. The politics. The politics. Anytime you're dealing with anything on a large scale, there is a political atmosphere, okay?
Right.
But here's where some things get separated. If it was just politics, and I like to use this analogy a lot, how does a kid from Central Florida
mm-hmm.
bump up past other quarterbacks that play Division I schools?
It's a very
in the point. In the Falcons situation, there was a player, Jesse Tuggle,
uh-huh.
played at Valdosta.
Right.
If it was just about politics, because he played at a smaller school,
mm-hmm.
doesn't get an opportunity to come to the NFL.
Oh, no.
You just choose everybody that played at Division I colleges.
Yeah,
that's
like,
all you would see on the roster.
Be like, oh, according to the list, this guy's the fifth best running back, but he went to USC. He didn't go to Savannah State, so let's pick him because he went to the bigger school. When Savannah State, the way it is in college right now, it's almost even across the board. Talent is going for opportunity. They're not going for prestigious school all the time anymore.
It's so much talent out there. In our episode last week when we spoke on this, we talked about the NFL creating a developmental league. That's how much talent is out there now.
Right.
It is so much talent that it is boiling over to they need something now to develop players just to keep them active and not lose them on the tracking. of what they're doing with their careers, and they don't want them to get too far out or
right.
into other areas of football that might not benefit them over time. So
right.
that lets you know that they're already seeing the talent 3 years out to want to develop a system now, find some type of way to reintroduce what used to be NFL U with inside of the borders of the United States and keep this talent playing football.
Well, as much as, you know, we both agree that this needs to happen, I mean, if Lane Kiffin can offer an eighth grader a scholarship to come play at whichever school he happens to be at now, then I guess we might as well start looking 3-5 years down the road.
Absolutely, absolutely. And that's why I'm so excited about this draft. I cannot wait for the draft to kick off. I cannot wait to see the moves that are going to be made, and some double and even triple moves with teams.
Oh, yeah.
You're going to see a lot of that. Not only are you going to see teams negotiate, but you're going to see three teams in the mix.
Yeah.
This went to this team to go to this team.
Right.
So a lot of talking has gone on, and I can't wait to see some of the players that have not popped up that I'm interested to see where they're going to fall. One of them being Aaron Murray.
Right.
I like this quarterback out of Georgia.
I do too.
I think he's a winner. He's not been talked about a lot, but I'm interested to see who is going to pick him up. Where he's on someone's board in the sleeper category
mm-hmm.
that says, hey, if we don't get these four or five guys, this is our next move.
Right.
So a lot of the teams already have – I mean, if you walk into a war room right now, I mean, you probably have over 200 names up
right.
in everybody's war room looking at the scenarios right,
right
now. So I'm just really excited about it.
Right. And let's jump into another call real quick. Hello, you're in the end zone. Who am I speaking with?
Hey, Jeremy, this is Reggie. How you guys doing?
We're doing good. How
Great,
about
Reggie,
you?
How about yourself?
I'm doing good. I'll keep the Falcon talk for later on, but – just overall, I think it's going to be I definitely echo the same sentiments as Coach Hill, in that this is definitely one of the most exciting drafts that has ever been televised. I mean, just
yeah.
the fact that you've got fans across the board that are having in-depth conversations like we're GMs waiting for tomorrow. I definitely wanted to speak on the rumor regarding Sam Bradford and Manziel. There's been a couple of different rumors, and one I'll talk about later as far as what the Falcons could possibly do with their pick. But I think that's also a good move for them. I think that the Rams need, regardless of whatever we think Manziel is going to become as a player, and I know that there are several opinions about what he's going to actually produce or if he's going to produce. I just think that when you're talking about energizing a fan base, I think that's the type of guy that you have to go after. I echo the same sentiments with Jacksonville. Jacksonville, and Jeremy, I know this is close to your heart, Jacksonville has been in the perennial cellar for so long. You sometimes have to gamble on a guy like that because he's going to sell tickets. And I think you're going to see quite a bit of that. There are teams out there now that are suffering majorly in their fan base department, and when you can see a team like Seattle come from the cellar and win the Super Bowl because they started picking based on who would energize that fan base. I mean, who really wants to go to Seattle to play on that field because of the 13th man? I think that's where this thing is starting to do. I think you'll see a lot of that tomorrow. I think you'll see a lot of teams taking players that no one thought that they would take just because they're looking for that spark on defense or that spark on offense or that spark that can sell tickets, because that's just the money side of this thing.
Oh, absolutely. And as far as Jacksonville, and I'll even get into it later on tonight on the other side of Falcon Zone with Jaguar Zone, but to me, I thought they missed their boat for that flashy ticket seller hype type guy when they didn't take Tim Tebow. But that's a completely different sore spot for Jacksonville fans, and I'm not sure there's enough time today to talk about it.
Right, right. And what's going to be really interesting, I guess what I'm really interested to see, too, is as we start getting into the second and third rounds. I mean, because the first round is pretty much a no-brainer. As far as who's going to go and who's not. I mean, you've got to take the best guy on the board at that position. But when you start getting into the second and third rounds, I think those are going to be the hot impact players, those sleeper guys, those guys like Mettenberg or Aaron Murray, which we've already kind of discussed. Those are the types of guys that can come in and change up a roster that you know, these teams are going to have to take the gamble on. They're definitely going to have to do that. And I think Jacksonville is one of those teams, much like the Browns. I mean, to have two picks like the Browns and the Rams have in this draft, you cannot afford to miss. You cannot afford to miss. I don't think Manziel is worth a number two pick, personally. I think you could probably trade back a little bit and get him. He's certainly not going to stay in the top 10, I don't think. However, I think, you know, the Rams have they've got some options there. They've got some really, really interesting options considering where they're picking now. Because, I mean, to go number 2 and 13, I mean, those are top-tier caliber picks. And their fan base is not going to be happy if they don't come away with some real impact players.
Yeah, definitely. And those are two fan bases with Cleveland and St. Louis where they have a good core built up, but they do need something to energize the fan base to show them, hey, we're not just going through the motions here. We're really trying to build this thing for you guys.
Absolutely. The Cleveland Browns, in my opinion, is probably that one team because of the history behind that team. They have been terrible for too many years. They did some really good things on defense, but they still need that one guy that they can hitch their franchise to, and they can't afford to miss on this draft. So you'll see them mortgaging future drafts because I don't think anybody's really concentrating that much on these future drafts. This is being one of the deepest drafts that has been out in a while. I think you got to go get them now and worry about it later.
Yeah, absolutely. And, Reggie, we do appreciate you calling in, and we will talk to you a little bit later on Falcon Zone.
Absolutely. Thanks, guys.
And we'll take one more call real quick, and then we'll have to take another break. Hello, you're in the end zone. Who am I speaking with? Caller, go ahead. Well, maybe we lost the connection there. Maybe we can get it back by the time we come back from this break. But we'll see you guys on the other side of the break, talk a little bit of our own mock draft, and a couple more rumors and the mock draft of the fantasy guru from Endzone. We'll see you guys at the other end of the break. Hey, Zoners. It's Jeremy the Impact York. Are you looking for a dinner full of flavor with a little kick? Then Tequila Mexican Restaurant is your destination for authentic Mexican food and drinks. Make sure to come by on the weekends for live music on the patio and bring all your friends for a good time. With locations in Dallas and Hiram, they are ready to dish out their great food and more. Jeremy the Impact York from Endzone here. Would you or your business like to advertise with Endzone? It's easier than you think. With many packages available, we've got the perfect deal to help you promote your business to a whole new audience. All you have to do is contact us at 3endzone@gmail.com for more info and to get started today. Let us help you grow your business. And we are back. As always, make sure to help out all the people that support us and everything, especially the Mellow Mushroom. They have locations all over. In case you're up near our way right now in Dallas and Hiram, you can find Tequila Mexican Restaurant. Mr. Ploss has always been nice to us and everything, and just saw him the other day. He's excited for us as much as we're excited for him. Go see all our people, and always, if you want to advertise with us, you can catch us. You can catch us anywhere on the show, or you can catch us at 3endzone@gmail.com. That is the direct email for us if you want to advertise with us. We'd love to help grow your business. But we do want to get into a mock draft as much as we've tried to avoid mock drafts because by now I think even some people's grandmothers may have done a mock draft. But we did want to run through it just try to set some things up real quick. We'll just jump right into – and this is no trades. We'll just go based off the list. You know, we don't want to confuse everybody, even though we know there's a lot of trades. We've told you there's going to be a lot of trades. We're pretty sure it's going to happen. We're just going to go straight down the list, though, based off the needs and where we think they're going to go real quick. With Houston, you know, where do you think they're going to go?
I think at this point, Houston most definitely goes after Clowney because he's the best player in the draft. I think it's a safe pick for him. Unless someone comes with a lot for that pick, and I mean, it's going to take a lot.
I'm hearing a first, a second, and a fourth this year, and a first next year if you want Houston's pick, and that's three farms in my book. That's not one.
Yeah, that's a lot, but I think they go after Clown, and I think it's a safe pick for him. He's the best player in the draft right now overall, and I think they just go directly D-line.
And he was, even though that's not one of their top three needs, he was asked if him and J.J. Watt were on the same line, what does that spell out for the division? And he said if he was Andrew Luck, he'd put his head on a swivel.
Well, that speaks volumes as to how he's feeling right now.
Right, he's feeling pretty confident. He sounds like a Texan to me is what he sounds like. But we'll jump into the Rams' number two pick. You know, based off of all their needs, if they keep that pick, I don't see him taking Manziel. I really see him trying to help that offensive line. I really see him taking Greg Robinson. He's a step ahead of the other two, I believe.
I agree. I think they go offensive line here. I think if they do not make the move with Mr. Bradford into Minnesota, they got to keep him upright. I mean, they most definitely have to take some pressure off of him. And, again, they need to shore up their offensive line. The defense is not bad. They have some things over there that help them, but most definitely they need something on the offensive side of the ball.
Definitely. And as we shift to number three with the Jaguars, I know it's not a major need of theirs, even though they could use it. I feel like Sammy Watkins is going to be a Jacksonville Jaguar.
Yeah, I can see that happening. But also, I wouldn't be too surprised, and don't be surprised, if you see them go for the quarterback out of Central Florida. I mean, he's an in-state guy.
He's a homegrown.
It's a safe pick for him. It's someone that he can build around. Mm-hmm. Because if you get Watkins and you still have no one who can throw to him, you got your impact player, but you still got a player that's not going to be able to catch balls unless he has a quarterback that can deliver it to him.
Definitely, and it's a very big possibility, and I actually see Bortles is still the strongest on the board at quarterback.
Absolutely.
The Browns at number four.
Well, the Browns can use a few things. again, they need a quarterback as well, so they might deal. They might pick up one in free agency. I'm not quite sure where they want to go, but they do need a quarterback for sure. And they need a running back. I mean, when they lost Richardson up there, some things went kind of south for them. So their two greatest needs is quarterback first and then running back second. So they need offense. So most definitely one of those two things are the picks that I'm looking at with them.
Well, I mean, I would say maybe Bridgewater could be next off the board here. But, I mean, I like Brian Hoyer that they have their – he was their third string. He took over till he got hurt. He's a good player. He gets the ball out to I forgot the wide receiver's name. I apologize for forgetting his name. He is probably going to bombard my Twitter later. Josh Gordon? I can't remember. Well, if you want to blow up my Twitter, I totally deserve it at this point for not remembering the Browns wide receiver. But as good as he was and as big a number as he's putting up, Hoyer was putting the ball on him. So, I mean, you know, if they want to go quarterback, they can go quarterback. But if I had to take a guess right now, yeah, Josh Morgan, I believe, is his name, as my Twitter feed is exploding. And it's good to see you guys are listening and paying attention, too, that you guys can always correct us here if we get something wrong, because our stat guy is out this week. He's not here to correct us, so we're on our own. But, yeah, I'm going to go Bridgewater there. I feel that it's going to be that way. And as we go to Raider Nation at number five.
Well, Mr. McKenzie, he's someone that I know personally that's the general manager there. He was in Green Bay. They made a lot of moves at the quarterback position, so I think they're shoring it up that they're going to go after a quarterback. It's a couple of quarterbacks in the draft. They might even go sleeper here. And there again, it just depends on what's left on the board. But I think that the Raiders will go for a quarterback.
Well, and if you want to keep another in-house guy, why not Derek Carr?
Again.
Fresno State.
Again, someone that's on the board, close to home, will probably be there.
Right.
Again, like you said, is in state, doesn't have to travel far.
His family doesn't have to go far of the game, so neither do his friends.
And there's a fan base there, so I do see that as a good pick for Oakland right now.
Absolutely. And we move into the hometown team, which we'll get into more later, but the Falcons at six.
Okay. Here's my prediction with Atlanta. At least this is my prediction.
Yeah, if they stay at six.
If they stay at six, there's a possibility they can still go with Khalil Mack if he's there.
Uh-huh.
Or they possibly look at getting Matthews as an offensive lineman.
Right.
Okay. There's also the possibility that they can take the tackle out of Alabama here.
Right.
So if they don't get what they want by moving up possibly to two, then we're looking at for sure them looking at either Khalil at this spot, or they're going to go right with a tackle right now.
Definitely.
So I can see a couple of things happen there with them, depending on if they stay at the spot. But at the spot, I think they go tackle here.
Yeah, I think for sure they're probably – I mean, you know, at this point, Jake Matthews still on the board, Taylor Lewan, Zach Martin.
It's a lot.
I mean
– it's a lot out there.
I mean, if I'm the Falcons – I think my guy has to be Jake Matthews here. I just – not just the pedigree of the name, because he does have a pretty attractive name that will grab a lot of fan base, but I just feel like he's gonna if you draft Jake Matthews, I feel like Matt Ryan's going to let out a sigh of relief, and he's going to buy him a house, because he's going to make sure he never gets hit in the mouth anymore.
Absolutely. So I just think that Matthews is their pick there.
Definitely so. And we got Tampa Bay at 7.
Tampa Bay most definitely needs a pass rusher. They need a pass rusher. I think their offense is young. They still need a quarterback as well.
Right.
Coach Lovie Smith is a defensive guy, mm-hmm. So I think the first thing he'll do is start trying to shore up the defense, and then begin to fill in the pieces of the puzzle offensively. They weren't terrible offensively,
right.
But
they weren't good either. They weren't bad, but they weren't good.
Exactly. They did nothing to wow you, but they have enough to stabilize themselves for at least right now.
Right.
Maybe down the later picks, he picks up some more on the offense, but I think right now they need a passer. They need something on the defensive side of the ball for them.
Right. I'm going to actually agree with you. I'm going to say Aaron Donald out of Pittsburgh ACC conference. This guy was a terror on the ACC. I watched him put up good performances. Because as a pass rusher, it's not just about the sacks or the tackles. It's how well did you match up? Could you move the guy you're matched up on? Can you take a double team? Aaron Donald's got a lot of tools that are going to help him on the next level.
Right.
Leaves us with the Vikings at 8.
Well, as we spoke earlier, it's rumored that they're making moves for Mr. Bradford, so they most definitely need a quarterback. Again, there are a couple of quarterbacks still left in this, so I think they go quarterback at this position if they don't make the Bradford deal with the Rams.
Right. And if they don't, according to our board right now, or according to my board at least, the way we're going down through here, you had Bortles maybe in Jacksonville, but so we can keep him out of it, I guess. You know, is there one that sticks out? Maybe Manziel, Garoppolo, AJ McCarron? I think it's a reach to come up for 8 for Garoppolo or McCarron. So
right.
I mean, so they, to me, they could skip quarterbacks and go to Taylor Lewan or Zach Martin at this point.
Right, right. But again, you know, it depends on how the teams move.
Right.
That first move with Houston is going to set the chain reaction of how the trades and the picks go.
Right.
So, if they stay there and they stay safe, they still have quarterbacks that they have to address. If they don't get the deal that they want from the Rams, and I think they might still go quarterback there, just depending on who's there and who they feel is left on the board that might can immediately fit their system.
Exactly. And the Bills at 9, to me, they do need linebacker help, and it's not just because it's their top need. But if Khalil Mack's still on the board, I think Khalil Mack's it.
I think that's the pick for Buffalo. If he's still there and the Falcons don't grab him at 6 because of a clowning move or go with Matthews at the O-line spot, I think that's where he'll end up.
Definitely. And the Lions at 10, if they don't move up, I think receiver is on the mind there. I think Mike Evans is going to be a Lion at that point.
Yeah, he most definitely would be a Calvin Johnson type of prototype player. Mm-hmm. You have these two huge receivers that can run. That would be a great place for him to go and to get up under the tutoring of a Calvin Johnson,
right,
because he's that size and that style of receiver. But if you put those two guys out there, I mean, it's gonna be interesting what they do with that. I mean, that's a lot. I'm a secondary coach, and that's
right.
A lot to cover.
Right. The Titans at 11, they're gonna need some safety help. I see Calvin Pryor out of Louisville going there, just because they need that extra ball hawk.
Yeah, they do. They do. I mean, they were hurting bad in the secondary last year at that spot, and I think that's a perfect fit for him. He's a kid that can come in and plug right now for him. Little learning curve there, because
right,
like you said, they need a presence at safety, and I think that's the move.
Right, and the Giants at 12, I think they help their linebacking core, which has been lacking the last few years. Not, you know, it's the aging veteran thing. But I think it's between C.J. Mosley and Anthony Barr, and I think you got to go Barr over Mosley at this point.
Yeah, that's going to be interesting. I think when they go and they look at both of those players, they're going to look at a lot of things. And one of the things they're going to look at is the productivity of the player, but also the injury.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's what's going to weigh for them at the at that particular spot. It just depends on what they want to do there. But the other thing they have to be careful of is that they need other areas to fill.
Right.
You know, so they also need some secondary stuff. So it'll be interesting to see what they do with that. But that is a nice situation to be in when you're looking at those two type of caliber players at that particular spot.
Yep, and the Rams with their second pick at 13 as we try to finish this out in the last few minutes here. We're going to try to rally these off real quick. I say Marquise Lee is actually going to be next off the board. Maybe, better yet, Odell Beckham Jr., I think, whose draft stock has been rising. I think they're going to go wide receiver here to help whichever quarterback they end up with.
Yeah, I can see more receiver there, more so than anything else.
The Bears at 14, they need a few different things as well. Defensive line, offensive line, safety help.
I think they go. They need to get a pass rusher.
I think they
need to find them a defensive lineman.
I mean, at this point, you're looking at Tuitt and DeMarcus Lawrence. Maybe even Hageman out of Minnesota. I mean, at this point, I would say probably Tuitt out of Notre Dame because he is a guy who can get after people. He is coming out a year early and everything, but I think he'll be able to get after them. The Steelers, who love to – the Steelers and the Lions and a couple teams up north love to pick Georgia Bulldogs, but I don't think the Steelers are going that way this time. I think if he falls this far
–
We'll try to get through this real quick. We'll catch the rest of this. We'll do the rest of our draft to start the Falcon Zone and then dive into some Falcons. But 15 will be our last pick, and I think if he falls this far, I think Taylor Lewan is a perfect Steeler. He's a hard-nosed, in-your-face, just tough guy.
Yeah, that particular type of style of football plays into what he wants to do. Again, it'll be a little learning curve. It'll give him an opportunity to be what he wants to be right now. So.
Right, definitely. And like I said, we will do the remaining 17 picks as part of the beginning of Falcon Zone, which will come just a few short minutes right after this. But we appreciate all our callers today, Edward and Reggie. And if we couldn't get you on this time, feel free to call into one of the other shows, and we'll try to get you on. And even if it's not your team, we'll try to do our best of addressing what we think you should do, or you can tell us what you think they should do. But for Coach Hill, I am Jeremy York. We'll see you guys next week.